This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Back, and he's just playing GNR today.
Did you have the lighter out, at least?
That's old school. Now it's cell phones, right?
Yeah.
Everybody holds up their phones.
That bothers me so much. I'm only I'm going to be 32 this year. I consider myself though kind of like an older kind of person because I have so much gray hair.
You're an old soul.
Yeah.
You always have been. Yeah.
But I hate when you just see the cell phone lights up. Like, I want lighters. Like, let's go. I know there's probably a lot more of a hazard there. I don't care though.
You were like 38 when I met you. Your soul. And that's well over a decade ago now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
Now, you don't smoke. You've never smoked, but you're give me the lighter.
I'll bring
Let's
one.
Are we doing this or not? It's lighter. Hey?
And hopefully no one has hairspray in front of me.
All right. Okay. So, Bund is producing. Brad Fritsch sitting in here, as you can tell from the intro. Now, how many Fritchy drops do we have like that, just describing what he is, what he's about? Because I know Kenny has made about 7 or 8 with Mr. Big Voice for when Meth comes on the show. And it's mocking some of the stories that Meth has shared in his appearances. Getting mad about people driving too fast by his house, right? He complained that the place, you know, that he's living in now, the hot tub is broken, and that ticked him off. And when he was on this week, it was like, welcome to the show. Brad, I know you were listening. Did you listen to the start of the show when Meth joined us?
I'm not sure if I caught the start of it. The thing I like about Mark is just the constant state of just minor exasperation that he's in. He's just
yes.
in a constant state of just things aren't quite right, and I'm going to tell you about it.
Exactly. That's a good way to describe it. He's in a constant state of disapproval of his situation, whatever that is. So when he was on this week, we signed the show on. It's like, blah, blah, blah. Intro plays. Mr. Big Voice makes fun of Meth, which maybe that put him on tilt. I don't know. And immediately I welcome him. Just your basic, like I did to you and Bunda. Hey, guys. What's going on? How's it going? Well, it's too hot in here. It's too hot. And what's going on with the Wi-Fi password? I can't get on the Wi-Fi, and it's too hot. And you know what? This bagel sucks. I got a bagel from around the corner. It's just terrible. But, yeah, good morning. How are you, Lloydie? That was pretty much it.
So you were nicer to me
off the top of the show.
I caught the last part of that morning. Now I recall, yes, there were, bagel, the heat, the Wi-Fi password. Unfortunately, as Canadians, you get a raw deal with data and Wi-Fi and all that. Like, nobody cares about using Wi-Fi here because we don't pay for our data. It's like there's no overages. You can't go over the amount of data that they give you. It's almost impossible. So yeah, that's unfortunate.
Well, we now within the last year, the companies in Canada, right, there's unlimited as well, but they'll throttle it down, right? It'll give you like max speed for 20 or whatever it is, but then it'll always be available. Like if you can always check your email. So that's changed a little bit, Fritchie.
This only happens when I go to a foreign country, let's say the Bahamas or Mexico or something like that. Your phone will be in 3G for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's like prehistoric times. Now. It's so slow. And we're so
Listen
used to
you, you diva.
LTE and 5G. No, it took forever. Like to send a text message, it took 5 minutes. Like I know the old Louis C.K. bit, like give it a minute. It's going to space.
That's right.
You know, but we were patient folk back then. Now, man.
Yeah, that bit, I remember he did that sitting in with Conan back in the day. He says, took a flight recently.
Yeah.
And it came over the speaker. It says, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, blah, 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 30,000 feet. By the way, we have Wi-Fi, so feel free to log on. It's like, oh, great. And then this one guy freaks out. It's BS when it didn't work right away. That's a good bit. you insignificant nothing. The world owes you this. Anyways, Bunda's getting some love here, okay? Since we're into the second half, it feels like we're starting fresh again here. Bunda, chicken donuts, yes or no? That's a real text to you, a question.
Chicken
donuts, yes or no? What's a chicken donut?
I need
Is that
more
a real
info?
Thing?
I need more info, but probably.
Is that like everybody? I think Popeye's kind of really started it, right? The chicken sandwich. Now everybody's been doing chicken sandwiches.
Sounds
Spicier
like,
the better.
Yeah, something they do down here. I mean, I hate to go all Chick-fil-A and Bojangles on you, but chicken for breakfast here is a thing. They'll have
chicken and waffles,
mini.
Right?
Yeah, but in the fast food restaurants, they'll alter the bread choice, right? You're not getting a chicken sandwich, but they'll put it on like a sourdough biscuit or something like that, and all of a sudden it transforms magically into a breakfast item. And people dig it. It's it's a thing. Now, I haven't heard of the chicken donut. Yeah, I agree with Steve. We need more info.
You know, I think people really need to start their morning with 2,500 calories. I that's a good way to start the day.
You can't count calories, Lloydy. That's not fair. Come on.
So chicken donut, my assumption would be that's the bun. So it's going to be chicken, fried chicken, of course, right? It's got to be fried chicken, right, Bunda? Fried chicken. And you're using, like, can you use two different types? Can you put like a fritter for the top part of the bun? And like a Boston cream for the bottom part? Like, what are we talking about here?
I think it has to be like a crispy cream, right? Like, you need that kind of glaze if you're doing it. It's kind of like the KFC Double Down, right? Like, those came around. I've tried one once in my life, and it was one of those, you're going to throw calories out the window, you're going to throw your health, diet, everything out the window for that 8 minutes that you eat it, and then you probably never need to try it again. So I'd probably try this chicken donut.
I love Fritchie's disgust when I said Boston cream. Up until that point, he was on board with the donut for the bun. And then I said the type. Now I'm out. But until that moment, your disgust tells me that you were on board with it until that particular donut came up.
I think I'd go with I'm the only person in the world who likes the sour cream glazed. But I like those. So that would be my underneath one.
Okay. Would you do that? If somebody made fried chicken and it was sour cream glaze for your buns, would you say, give me some of that?
I'm very open to new things, Steve.
All right.
I like your energy, Fritchie.
Like Bunda said, you know, one time.
You guys are kindred spirits.
Yeah.
Now, I got it on my saved into my Google Photos or my Amazon Photos somewhere. A picture that you sent me when you went to Lambeau Field. How many years ago did you go to that game?
Oh, yeah. Gosh. 2014 or 15?
Okay. Was that the Dez Bryant game?
That was the catch? Dez catch, no catch.
Yeah, it was that game. So you were there at Lambeau, and I had you on to tee it up, and I think you joined us when you were there as well. And they had a signature food item. Lambeau burger, whatever they called it, right? Now, what was that thing? That thing, like, come on, man. Like, that, the size of that thing looked like if you just wanted to have people over for dinner, you could buy that, cut it up, and everybody could eat from it.
The big game burger.
Okay, do you remember what that entailed?
No, but since I don't have 3G, I just pulled it up right now.
Okay.
Half pound ground venison, half pound bacon, half pound beef, jalapeno cheese, barbecue sauce, 6 strips of bacon, fried onions, lettuce, tomato, pickles, served on a pretzel bun, not a donut. But yeah, I tried to eat it and it took so long and it was cold enough where it just got cold really fast. So it was a little bit of a disappointing experience. I was hoping to finish it, but it didn't quite go my way. But it was massive. It was something like 3.5 pounds, I think. Yeah, that's right. 3.5 pounds. It's a lot of meat.
Yeah. So how'd that go for you? Like, you got down as much as you could. How can I put this? was the rest of your day good? And the next morning, were you everything okay? A-okay?
Besides the game result, everything was fine. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It was a fun experience. Lambeau is really cool. And it's not as old as you think it was. They redid the inside, and it was fun. And Wisconsin people, salt of the earth people, like, that's a great town. It's a lot of fun. I've been there more than once. A friend of mine got married there in November once. That might approach the cold that you're feeling today. It was so cold. But it's a neat place. It's hard to believe they have an NFL team there when you get there and you look around, seeing as where all the other NFL teams are. But it's a fun place. But no problems with the big game burger. Didn't finish it, but it was okay.
Well, the only reason they still have an NFL team there is thank you, Wellington Mara, with how the revenue is divvied up in the NFL. Because that, yeah. You're right. The way the league operates and the cash cow that it is, without that business model, Green Bay, what? As an NFL team? But there they are. Okay. Look at this. What have I done? Okay. What do we got here? Sour cream glaze is the best donut. You're not alone, no. Fritchie. That's from our good friend Caleb. Thank you, Caleb. Chicken donut was most likely someone's wake and bake moment. Mark the Renegoli, possibly. Fritchie, sour cream glaze is the most underrated donut in the game.
Oh,
don't let people in on it. Cheers, AP.
Okay.
Okay. Look at this. Sour cream glaze is number one and would be absolutely delicious with fried chicken. Marty.
I think Marty's tried it already. That's what it sounds like.
Dennis in Barhaven. Slow sports week, fellas. Shut up, Dennis. It's the all-star break. Where can I buy fried chicken on sour cream donut buns? I need to try. Fritchie just kind of invented something there, by the way. I asked him which kind of donut would he use, and that's what he came up with. Bunda, you have to have the chicken burger from Umbrella Bar today. Uber Eats that baby. Okay, Bunda.
Okay.
Because when you talk fried chicken, you're talking Steve Bunda. Or drumsticks in general here. When's the last time you had fried chicken, Bunda, and or chicken drumsticks?
Chicken drumsticks I had twice this week because I made a good, you know, I stopped sending you my pictures, but you know the big jumbo packs that you could usually find of, I don't know, probably like 30 drumsticks?
Oh, when they go on sale, Bunda, you gotta pick those up.
You gotta pick that back.
They're just giving
up.
It away.
especially with the price of meat now, right? But yeah,
that's right.
Made a good couple lunches with those this week. Fried chicken, it's been a little while, but I can promise you that out of the, probably 20 meals I've had so far this week, probably 18 have been chicken. So,
do you own like a crock pot, instant pot, kind of like a deep fryer contraption of some sort? Do you have one of those?
If not, that's
a must on your list at some point, is it not?
Yeah, I've got a crock pot. I have a barbecue. I've obviously got an oven. So I've got my ways. I have a smoker. So I have everything under control. I used to have an air fryer, but I didn't love it that much, and it was smaller. I probably need a new one and an upgrade. But other than that, I get by with my chicken ways.
All right. The food wings continue to pour in here, but I'll try to stick
a
fork
in this. You opened up the floodgates,
Lloyd. I did. It's all right. We can have a little fun here. But as we go to break, a rando question came in, which I like. And, Brad, you got to answer this because it's directed at you. Does Mr. Brad Fritch know that he's in video games? I was playing an old PGA, I think 2017, and old Fritchie was crushing me on the web.com tour.
I've gotten a hint of that once or twice, maybe on Twitter someone has mentioned that. Did I know? No. I don't think I'm the one selling that game, though. So I'll just say, well, that's great, and move on with my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no.
If
no
anybody
right,
has that
no
game, can you, can you please screen grab that and tweet at us, please, at TSN1200, at TSN Steve Lloyd. Okay, please.
I want to see they did with the body proportions.
I didn't say that. You did.
That's where you were going. Yeah.
I want to see if anything was. It's video game. You know, I used to play Tiger Woods, whatever year it was, right? And I'm not going to lie, when I made my own character to try to look like me, I might have beefed up the resume a little bit. I might have looked a lot better in that video game than I do. A little Photoshopping going on, Brad. That's okay. I'm just wondering what the game did rather than you doing it yourself. So if anybody has any of that, yeah, please share. I need to see this. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll get it back. We'll come back, get to more of your sports take texts that have come in. Gord Wilson still to join us later in the show as our Sens and NHL Insider as In the Box continues on TSN 1200. You guys are the professionals here, okay? Rick wants to know, settle this one for me. Does the apple fritter qualify as a donut? It's square with no holes. If so, this kicks the sour cream glaze's butt. So what's the classification? Is a fritter a donut? Yay or nay?
If you're asking me, I don't do fruit in desserts. That's no good. We don't need to be healthy with desserts, so let's take the fruit out of it. That's
pretty sad that you think a fritter is healthy.
I didn't say healthy. I said it's not a dessert to me because it's got fruit in it. I didn't say healthy. That explains a lot. But
Canada Health Guide, Fritchie Health Guide, two different things. All right. Bunda?
Man, it's interesting. I think it still counts as a donut because it's got, you know, the dough and all that. But I just love that take. That's a good one. Don't mix fruit with dessert.
Where do sour keys land on your health guide?
Where does what?
Sour keys. Don't tell me you don't know what a sour key is.
I don't know what that is. Maybe it's something different here. I don't know.
Sour key. Oh, man.
Would they be a sour soother?
Yes. Yeah. Sour soother. Yeah. Sour keys.
I don't know. Sounds like a kid's game, Steve. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my. Oh, I'm going to have to send you a text here. The sour key.
Send him a Costco drum, Lloydie. Just let him know.
Funny, yeah. Yeah, you can pick up the whole drum at Costco.
He's like a 5-pound drum.
He knows exactly what. All right, sorry. Moving right along here, shall we? Gord Wilson's going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. We're into the NHL All-Star break. Skills go tonight. Brady Tkachuk puts a guest on the show. If you want to hear the interview, it's up on our website at tsn1200.ca. Now, he's already filmed his bit, he said, so they'll air tonight. But he'll also appear, it sounds like, live with his brother, helping him out, part of the Skills. And then, of course, the game tomorrow. Okay, we've talked about this with other hosts and producers in the show this week. I'm home tonight. I think I'll check it out a little bit. I'll watch a bit. But I won't be able, like, it's moot for me tomorrow. I will not be available to watch any of the games for tomorrow. But what's Brad Fritch's viewing habits when it comes to All-Star weekend for the NHL? Typically.
I've typically lost interest over the years. I remember watching it as a kid, as a teenager, you know, those games that were, what, like 15 to 11, stuff like that. It was kind of wide open. When they started doing the 3-on-3 stuff and the division teams and all that, I lost interest. I really did. Part of that might be because down here it's not advertised well or anything like that, but yeah, I don't think I'm an all-star anything, like NBA definitely not. Baseball, I'll watch the home run derby sometimes. That's always fun. But no, in hockey, I haven't tuned in a while, actually.
Well, baseball for me is by far the best all-star game because it actually resembles the sport,
right?
More so than the other ones, right? Because it's just baseball, non-contact. It's a series of individual matchups, so there's always going to be pride involved with pitcher batter, batter pitcher. So you're going to get something that looks like the game. So to me, it's not even close, right?
Unless if you seemed one, that. Like, what was it, Hideo Nomo seemed one for Cal Ripken, let him hit it over the fence, allegedly.
Allegedly. That was in Toronto.
That's right. Yeah, it was. No, you're right. Something could go terribly wrong if they played it like a normal game. Just like the Pro Bowl now for the NFL is just a series of kind of funny skills contests because
they play a flag, don't they?
Do you remember years ago when they had the beach flag football game and the guy for the Patriots tore his knee up, I think? Yeah, Robert Edwards.
He ended up with the Montreal Alouettes, hobbling around, and played a few seasons in the CFL, but he was not the same.
Yeah, what's supposed to be like a celebratory weekend turns into probably just killed his career, basically. So I can understand both sides, but yeah, it's a tough thing, right? You just want guys to have fun and get out as healthy as possible, and yet you want to showcase the product too. If they're doing that well, I'm not so sure. but that's what they're trying to do.
No, it was certainly good finally with the NFL that they took the actual Pro Bowl game and it was Old Yeller time finally. They had to change that. It never featured the best of the best all the time anyway. Guys would opt out all the time anyway. And, of course, they'd always have it this weekend, right, between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, and go to Hawaii. And it was just the only thing I remember of any consequence was the time that, you know, Mike Vanderjagt, when he was going on, was it called The Score still, or was it still Headline Sports? And he was doing some analysis, and he was a current Colt at the time, and he kind of criticized Peyton Manning, and then Peyton Manning went off on him on live TV. When he was interviewed at the Pro Bowl, talking about our liquored up kicker.
Yep. Yeah, I remember that.
That's pretty much my memory of the Pro Bowl, and it had nothing to do with the game. It was actually smack talk with somebody that was at the game, but they finally did change that format, so that's different.
All All-Star games used to have full participation. It wasn't always protecting the players and making sure that guys were healthy and all that. When Tom Brady retired a couple days ago, there was a great story on, I forget which ESPN show, but I think it was Rob Ninkovich was telling it about, he said, after their second championship in a row, can't remember which one, he was in the locker room of the Pro Bowl, and they were the last guys to be announced. The Patriots players were. So it was Adam Vinatieri and Tom Brady, and I can't remember which other, like a receiver or tight end or something. And Brady said something like, no one's ever done it three years in a row. And this was the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl, I guess, in this year. It doesn't happen that way now. But and it was just showing how competitive Brady was. Like, he was already on to the next year, even though he just won the Super Bowl the week before. But my point is, Tom Brady was playing in the Pro Bowl. It's like guys were still actively playing. And now Tyler Huntley from the Baltimore Ravens got called up to play the Pro Bowl. He had two touchdown passes this year.
And one big fumble.
Who are they getting? Yeah, exactly. Who are they getting for these games? Obviously not the best players in the league. Josh Allen's playing at Pebble Beach this year instead of playing in the Pro Bowl. Yeah,
great point.
No, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
Great point there. Did you see, thank you for that, because I did want to get your thoughts on this. Because you follow the NFL and you watch a lot of NFL, and I know you'll have an opinion. No, so Tony Romo is also playing at Pebble Beach. Did you see his shot from the hospitality area the other day? It was pretty sweet, right? He's on the carpet. They had to move the tables, and he almost jarred it on the green with a nice little pitch chip shot to get it back to play.
I feel like that's a repeat of what he's done before. I've seen him do that before. He needs to work on his driver, obviously.
Yeah. So there you go. Now, okay, so Tony Romo, I know, I think you and I have texted about this. It's become a pretty big story, right? Every day somebody's offering opinion on it. And now there's been a denial. It was reported somewhat recently. It was Marchand with the Post, right? He does a podcast with John Oran. And I actually listened to a little that their take during that. And it was floated during that podcast that not only were they being critical of Tony Romo's not as good as he used to be, and that narrative's been out there for a while. That goes back to what Dick Ebersol had said back in the fall. And he tried to walk a bit of that back. So I think we know that narrative's been there, but Tony Romo isn't as good as he was when he first started doing it with Jim Nantz, and does he need to work harder and get better, and yada, yada, yada. So, but the latest is on that podcast, that recent podcast, it was said that they had heard that there was an and the word intervention was used in the offseason by the executives at CBS Sports because they could see it slipping, and they wanted to go to Tony Romo because they're paying him a lot of money, basically saying you got to get back to, you know, being the storyteller you were initially, and also saying you got to work harder because the further and further you get away from your playing days, the harder and harder it is just to rely on, hey, I'm a recent player and this is how the game is. And Romo, everybody that comes fresh out of it does benefit from that. But eventually, if you want to kind of maintain, if you're coming in hot right away, to maintain that level, you know, it's going to require more research, more time, more effort, all of it. Just makes sense, right? Now that's been subsequently denied by the people at CBS. So that's kind of where that sits right now. But back to the original here. What are your thoughts on Tony Romo? Cowboys fan, so you cheered for Romo as a player, obviously. And then he comes into the booth, and right away, right, his big thing was, it's like, this guy is calling a lot of stuff before it happens. He's so fresh from the game. He knows up the current offenses in the league and what current defenses do against every package. And I don't know, like now that he's, how many years has it been, right, since he played? I think it's harder for him to do that because the game changes every year just a little bit about what works, what doesn't, and what have you. So maybe that's why we're not getting as many of the bang-on pre-snap calls. It still happens, but not as often as it used to. But what are your thoughts on the narrative that Tony Romo has been going downhill?
Right. I kind of – you're right. When he came into the league as a broadcaster, it was something that nobody had ever done before, right? He'd tell you, you know, where Tom Brady was going because Gronk is up top in single coverage and there's no safety that way. So that's what Tom Brady's going to look to do. And then so many times it was exactly, it would play out exactly like Romo said. So nobody had ever done that as a commentator before. And so it was unique. And what I'm seeing, not that I've tried to analyze it or anything, but he's just super giddy and excited all the time, and he's doing less of the predicting and more of just the almost like a cheerleading constantly, and it has affected the broadcast. I still enjoy listening to him because I like someone who's excited about the game and especially big moments, but it does feel like a lot of the time every moment is a big moment for Romo as he's calling it, so one isn't more important than the other, and that's probably not true, right? Most games have inflection points where one moment is much bigger than a typical, you know, 2nd and 8 for 3 yards. You know, don't get excited by the linebacker tackling the running back because it was just a tackle. But he kind of plays up every play, which is kind of an odd departure from what he used to, do. I think it was the Cincinnati-Kansas City game this past week, where Cincinnati had a 4th and 6, and Romo kind of said it 2 or 3 times, like, oh, they're not going to go for it. And then he threw it into double covers to Ja'Marr Chase down to the 5-yard line. Like, it was totally went against what Romo was saying. And I thought that was kind of an interesting, that wouldn't have happened a couple of years ago, right? He was kind of playing it safe in his mind. And yet the Bengals played it extremely aggressive and came out on top on that play. But I think the difference this year versus past years is Greg Olsen has come in and done a great job. And I know you like him. I know you think he's done a really good job. He's great. And, mm-hmm. and he's not the same type of guy. He explains things, why they happen and what defenses are doing. He's less into the predicting than Romo was, but he's really good. And he's emerged as like the Fox number one, right? And Romo's over on CBS.
Well, for now, but, until Brady.
right. And a great interview with Greg Olsen saying he knew this year he'd have to absolutely kill it as their number one guy because he knew Brady had this standing contract. Mm-hmm. So it was either be great at it or, you know, be ready to be number two when Brady comes in when the time came. So all that to say, I like Tony Romo as a commentator, but I definitely think that he's not the same as he was. And I don't know if it's I don't know if it's because the game is, you know, passing him by because he's not working at it. I don't think that a ton has changed in terms of the defenses. One thing that has changed is there are fewer pocket passers and more quarterback runners, you know, a Jalen Hurts, a Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. There's more of those types of quarterbacks. So I think maybe that plays into his not lack of knowledge, but his lack of expectation of what might happen in a play, because the play can break down very quickly. And when he was playing, there were fewer quarterbacks willing to run. Now there are more. So that might affect his kind of play calling, if you want to call it that. But maybe it is just the work, because he just seems more of a cheerleader now than a guy who's willing to go out on a limb, you know, once every quarter, you know, a certain package that he sees, an impactful play, a fourth down, stuff like that, where he used to be money calling it. And that was something we'd never seen. So it was very, very unique.
Well, I'm kind of the mind. Can you start to pick apart some things that maybe it's not quite as good as it was? I think that there's some value in that. I think that's warranted. But I just think that it's like anything else these days, when social media gets involved as well. I think it's kind of out of control. I think he's still good. Like I enjoy listening to Tony Romo. I guess if you're measuring him against himself from when he was the shiny new toy and he was doing it a different way, it was amazing. I don't know how do you duplicate that, being the new way of doing it. Like, listen to this guy. He's saying things like color commentators just have never really been like this. So, of course, eventually that's going to normalize, and that's kind of what's happened as well. So I like what you said there. And is there maybe a little bit that he needs to work harder, differently, whatever it is? I can get on board with that. But like a lot of things, I think it's become a bit of a pile on for something that's it's a guy doing color on a football game.
Right.
You can have your favorites, and I like this guy better than the other, like whatever, right? As long as you're not being like, it's like you're constantly saying this guy's got no clue. I don't think you can say, even if you don't like his style, and maybe you think I think it's a little over the top. And your point on Olsen, don't you think that the way he approached it, and I heard his comments because he was on a pod with Burkhart talking about this recently, and they were both, you know, talking about very frankly that Burkhart said, yeah, I texted with Tom last offseason knowing when the deal was done, right? And he says, could it be awkward with Greg in the booth? Yeah, it could be, but we haven't made it that way. It's like we're doing the best job we can as a team right now. And don't you think it's perfect for Olsen to be a former player in that environment? I think he's used the same mentality playing in a league with no guaranteed contracts, where every day you're playing for your job, right? And you got to worry about today. The cliches help here, right? I got to worry about what I'm doing right now, what I can control. And he's approached that this year, and he's done a heck of a job. That's a good broadcast. They got the Super Bowl. I think they'll do a hell of a job coming up next Sunday, those two. And if Brady comes in and they decide that they don't want a three-man booth it, or they want to bump Olsen, or maybe he's elsewhere, he's done such a good job, Fritchie, I think, that he could be in demand with other networks because he's done such a good professional job this season. Like, I don't know. Like, this is just me personally. I'm not a big fan of Kirk Herbstreit calling pro games on Thursday nights. I think Olsen could do a better job of that. But that's just a personal preference thing, okay? I'm not dumping on Kirk Herbstreit. That's just I like Olsen better, right? But my point is he is really, with his singular focus and controlling what he can this year, like a player would, it's been perfect. He's going to be fine no matter how it plays out, because Brady's going to be the guy. You're not paying him that kind of coin to not be. And if it works out somewhere else within the Fox, you know, broadcast or whatever that means, whatever. But he set himself up. He'll be in demand somewhere. Like he's immediately in 1 year put himself in the conversation to do as good a job as anybody else. It's just about preference at this point. Like, who do you like better? Like he's putting in the work. He's done it. He's done a great job.
for sure. And he made a good point in that podcast where he said, you know, I didn't play a glamour position. I was a tight end. I was a pretty good tight end, but not a, you know, Hall of Fame level. So I knew I needed to be really, really good. And he put in the work and he's doing a great job. I'm with you. I don't dislike any color commentators. Like, I enjoy Chris Collinsworth. Kirk Herbstreit, he kind of got saddled with an Al Michaels who's not, he's not the Al Michaels of the past. Plus, they got all those awful Thursday night games. Like, they were just
Al Michaels was sour, right? He would whine during the broadcast, whining.
You could feel the non-enthusiasm from them both. Like, it just Kurt, and now Herbstreit was trying because it's his first NFL gig and all that, but it was painful. Like, Thursday games, they shouldn't even be allowed unless the team has 11 days and not, you know, 4 or 5 to prepare. It's not a good look for, or it's not a good thing for the players. And they'll tell you that. But I generally enjoy most broadcasts. Like, Troy Aikman, I have a soft spot for him because I grew up watching him play as a Cowboy quarterback. He's just okay. Like, he just describes to you what just happened. He gives you a replay while the replay is going on. He doesn't tell you anything groundbreaking. I enjoy Chris Collinsworth, the ups and the downs of his voice inflection. I think he does a good job. Greg Olson's really good. They all bring something different to the table. But you find out real fast. I think Drew Brees was supposed to be a color commentator, right? And then he just kind of disappeared. Like, just wasn't his thing. He wasn't great. The same thing could happen to Brady. You never know. Like, it's really hard to tell once you get in front of a camera how you're going to do it. And his demeanor is so flat. Like, he was trained by the best, Bill Belichick, right? He didn't ever give you any answers. He was great at talking for a long time, much like I'm doing right now, and saying nothing. And so who knows if he's going to be any good. So
you're ready.
I agree that Greg Olson will be in demand, and who knows how their contracts work, but he should be a number one guy somewhere. Like, he's earned it. He's really good at what he does.
You've reached self-actualization, young Padawan. You've graduated. Okay, there with that, like I'm doing right now, in a four-hour radio show, right? You know, you're not saying nothing. You're elaborating on your point. There's a difference, Brad. It's a difference. Just elaborating on a point here. Anyways, lots of thoughts have come in here. People start to dislike commentators as soon as they say something negative about their team. Or positive about the other team, because Romo is that kind of cheerleader guy. People hate him because he's positive about the other team. My two cents. I think there's something to that, right?
Yeah, I think so. Everybody loves their team and doesn't want to hear much too bad about them.
For Tony,
except if you're the Senators, then we want brutal, honest feedback.
And for Tony, too, I think the one big thing, it is the over-the-top cheerleader kind of style. Like, I've always appreciated and thought he was good. I never was a huge fan of the way Tony called the game. I don't like the predicting the play that's coming up to the line of scrimmage, looking at the formation, and then it could be like a throw to the tight end, or it could be a run to the left side, and then it isn't either. And it's like, yeah, I guess that's okay. It could have been that call. I was never a fan of that. But it's for Tony, it's like everything is always so positive, and then there's not a lot of negative in I think, analysis that he brings to the game or said play. I've always just found he's a little bit less like that and more like hyper cheerleader kind of guy, whether, like you said, it's, you know, the team you're cheering for, cheering against. And so it kind of just rubs me the wrong way. Just not a fan of it.
I'm kind of like, I know what you're saying, but I like his energy. I've always liked his energy.
Yeah, his
excitement, I like people.
Right?
Well, sound like you're having fun at your job. And he certainly brings that to the table. He does. Now, can it get a little goofy sometimes with the giddiness of the excitement? Here we go, Jim!
Oh, like, man, this play is going to be... Here it comes!
Jim! like him saying Jim in different ways and adding different words to Jim has become a thing, right? But it's not forced. You can't say that. Nothing that he does is contrived. And I got that. There's a compliment, right? I don't think he says, all right, I'm looking for my buzz phrase. I gotta work this in at some point. No, it's He's just coming from a place of genuine emotion. So, anyways, some thoughts on that. Keep them coming. Welcome. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll get Gord all teed up. We'll circle back to some hockey talk with Gord Wilson as our Sens and NHL insider. Goodrow will join us shortly after 1 o'clock on In the Box on TSN 1200. Is this one or two? Which one was this on? I can't remember.
I believe this was on two.
On two? Okay, it's the blue one, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'd have to go back and check. I have them both.
All right, okay.
But I'm pretty sure it was two.
Pretty sure it was two? Okay, I'll take your word for it. Okay. Bund is playing all GNR today because he doesn't get an opportunity to, produce the TSN 1200 shows on a regular basis. So he's kind of emptying everything he's got here. He's every song he's played today has been a GNR song. Why? Because he's a producer and he can do what he wants. Lots of Romo takes coming in here, Fritchie. Love Romo, best guy out there, comes from T-Box. This one, though, from Mark the Renegoldie. Romo's got the best job now. No research, golf all day. 2 to 3 day vacation to where the game is. Golf more, see a football game for free in a suit. Lucky SOB.
I don't know how much golf he was playing in Kansas City.
Oh, man. Romo on the live golf lifestyle. There's that. You know, I did want to ask you about that. Gives me the opening here because we got Gord coming up shortly. Have you digested more of the whole Patrick Reed stuff with live and how that's played out and what could still to come? Any fallout from that with his interaction with Rory and the tree and all of that?
No, I mean, I think we talked about it the other day. I don't think there's a ton to say. I mean, how likely is it, you know, that the ball wasn't in the tree that he was looking at, and yet he still identified his ball in a different tree. So, like, what do you say to that? Add 1 plus 1, you get your answer. You know, it's just, I don't know. Just the evidence adds up, right? It mounts. And this is a guy who plays fast and loose with the rules and continually puts himself in the line of fire when it comes to people who can criticize him about how willing he is to adhere to the rules of golf. And they aren't complicated. These are the stuff that he's done is so, I don't want to say blatant, but it's just, you know, he watches it on video and says, I didn't do anything wrong, when 99 out of 100 tour pros would say, oh yeah, no, you can't do that. So I think I've said all I can say. Like, you can't say it any other way than he's cheating, and it's obvious. And, you know, the mechanisms that the rules officials have, unfortunately, can't bring about, you know, a disqualification, because the way that it's happening is it's up to someone to go get that ball to prove that it's not his, and no one did, right? And no one would in normal circumstances, because you normally trust players. So it's just, wait, happens way too many times. So it's just, you know, at this point it's moot. And then he goes and plays, you know, second best in the tournament, which is crazy. So obviously there's a little bit of an odd, funny and just, it's a very weird tendency to play great when people are talking crazy about you, like the one at Torrey Pines where he was, you know, rooting around his ball and improving the lie and everything, and he won the tournament by 5 shots. Like, so he plays great when these things are happening, which is just another mark of a very different person, let's say.
All right, we gotta go because Gord Wilson is standing by, and we'll bring you the final hour of the show, kicking it off a little hockey talk. Get Gord's thoughts on the firing of Troy Mann, which came down late last night. What that means? Well, we know in the immediate future that means that they're not bringing anybody new. They're just reshuffling the current coaching staff. And David Bell, the former Ottawa 67, who's been an assistant with Troy for a few years, is taking over as a head coach for the rest of the way this season. We'll talk to Gord about that, the All-Star break.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.